You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Gunach Chish for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. 2021 will be remembered for things that changed our world forever. The pandemic that's forced masks upon us, social distancing, Zoom fatigue, just to name a few. But perhaps when we look back years from now, 2021 will also mark an important turning point in Juno's ongoing efforts to break the cycle of homelessness, addiction, and other problems for the most vulnerable members of our community. Next Tuesday, the Glory Hall celebrates the completion of its new shelter, and right next door, a groundbreaking for the Teal Center. Here with us now to talk about these two pivotal developments, Maria Lovischuk, Executive Director of the Glory Hall, and Joan O'Keefe, Executive Director of United Human Services. Maria, let's start with you because we haven't talked with you since this summer, and that was when the Glory Hall was just about to open. So how have things been going since then?
It's been pretty great. I really don't have another word for it, except for it's been really great. Our kitchen got completed at the end of August. In September, a lot of our volunteer groups came back and they're now cooking in the building. So we're having yummy dinners. We're having breakfast and lunch. People have really been reacting in a very positive way to the little sleeping spaces that people have where we can lock up their stuff and not lose it. Just the bigger building and the ability of people to be in their own space during the day has really decreased the amount of conflicts. Collaborations of partner agencies have increased tremendously. Search's Front Street Clinic comes out here twice a week now. We have Bartlett Regional Hospital navigators in our conference room because we have a room for them. We have offices where we're able to meet with people and like talk about goals and like talk about hard things in privacy. We have a secured entry, so we actually know who is in our building. Since we've been opened, we've been able to get over 30 people into either affordable housing, permanent supportive housing, rehab facilities, or just home to their families where we wanted to go for a long time but haven't been able to go. So it's been really good, I think.
Can you share some stories about how people have responded to the new living situation and maybe compare to what it was like when you were cramped in that old building downtown?
Well, you know, before we moved, like a couple of weeks before we moved, I just really worried. I was just wondering, like, did we make a really big mistake because we were moving to the Valley out of town and nobody was going to come? And the very second night, first day of our opening, we were completely full. Like every little room was full. People came. It's like it's been really nice to see. People just really seem to like palpably shed a little bit of stress, which was really great. And then just the whole idea that people were not going to leave downtown and, you know, not get to the Valley, that did not materialize at all. People definitely got out to the Valley. And we had our shuttle going for a little bit. And then our driver got COVID, and so we discontinued the shuttle, but people still figure out how to get here using the public transportation. And we have a great program going where people can do some volunteer work and get a bus pass, which contributes to mobility and independence. So that's been really great.
Have people begun to transform? Can you see signs of that moving out of a place that just really didn't make anybody feel very secure or feel like it was home?
Well, we've had one gentleman. This was a multi-agency effort, but he's been experiencing homelessness in Juneau for 27 years, suffered the substance abuse for the majority of his life. He is 59 now. He wasn't allowed to come into the old Glory Hall before because the space was so small, and he really had challenges being around other people in a safe way. In the new Glory Hall, he had his own little space. And so he was able to be here and he was able to meet with us. And this last Friday, he got on the plane and went to Milwaukee into a 2-year rehabilitation facility. Like this space enabled him to like really get enough strength collected together and like allowed us enough space to work with him to facilitate him getting there. And now he is he is in a treatment facility. And it's really just like thinking about the old glory hole and being able to do that. Like, there's just no way. There's no way that could have happened at all. And just generally, there's just a lot less stress and a lot less conflict happening here.
Well, it seems that many shelters and the old glory hall kind of got caught in that cycle of helping people, but not being able to break the cycle that would eventually bring them back. And so this is part of a bigger campus. And I guess what next Tuesday, there's a celebration, and it's sort of a two-part celebration. So Joan, can you explain why it's a two-parter?
Sure. Thank you, Rhonda. It's a two-parter because we're going to celebrate the glory halls. They're open. It's sort of a community thank you that they want to share with the community. And it's the groundbreaking for the Teal Street Center, which will be a resource hub of many agencies, social service agencies under one roof, providing those services, important services to help our most vulnerable and our community members get a leg up. And we're really excited about the event next Tuesday.
The idea behind the Glory Hall, the new Glory Hall, is that it would be part of a campus, that it wouldn't be in isolation as it was downtown. And so the Teal Street Center, where's it going to go and what's in the campus now?
This is our groundbreaking next Tuesday. We've done some site prep, so it's a big empty lot right now, and it's located between the new Glory Hall and St. Vincent de Paul's facilities, their low-income senior housing, Smith Hall, and their transitional housing. They've got 24 units in the one facility and 26 in the other. On the other side will be the Glory Hall and their capacity to be able to sleep 58 folks over there.
So what is so important about this little piece of this campus?
First of all, it's really important what all of the organizations in the Teal Street Center, the future building, do already. It's critical. What's really important about it to the Glory Hall particularly is that most of our patrons do experience some kind of a disability. And it's really difficult for folks to get stabilized without having access to service, convenient access to services. And so to have Southeast Alaska Independent Living and to have Alaska Legal Services and to have a Disability Law Center be right next door so we can walk our patrons over, or we can walk over and get an appointment and not really have to, you know, get on the bus in the rain, you know, while they have mobility issues, like go somewhere, get lost, give up, like to just like have the services on the campus right there. It's going to be critical. I mean, it really is going to be a game changer for how we deliver services to people who need them most.
We have 8 permanent tenants. Their boards have committed 10 years, and SAIL and Alaska Legal Services, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Cancer Connection, Disability Law, NAMI Juno, and their Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, the United Way, United Human Services will all be there. As of yesterday, we've added Central Council, Tlingit and Haida, Indian Tribes of Alaska. They are going to have a presence. They've made a commitment to the first floor. They're going to have a kiosk, a resource kiosk, and a navigator on the first floor. And as well, we have a resource room, because we could only fit so many agencies in the building. So we have this very innovative idea of a resource room that will have itinerant providers. And we've got a number of strategic partners that have committed to the resource room, 4A's for AIDS prevention services and CERC for adult education and the state of Alaska's Folk Rehab for employment services and Bartlett Hospital's housing navigator. They're all going to be tenants, provide services on a rotating basis. And then, as Maria mentioned earlier, Front Street Clinic Search will have their mobile medicine van offering behavioral health and basic medical on the campus from the parking lot. So we're just so thrilled to have all these services at the campus. And, you know, we did community forums to see what agencies made sense, what partners and resources would make the most improvement to outcomes. And that's how we came up with who we have there. Hopefully I named all the agencies there that'll be part of our project.
And also because of this campus, Search's Front Street Clinic is able to come out, because there's now a spot for them to come see us. That's a really key partner for the Glory Hole, especially. Just so important to get those primary care services for our folks.
So what was the inspiration for creating this social service hub right next to the housing?
Joan, I think, has been at it for a really long time, but I'll just say that, you know, seeing how nice it was at the Housing First facility to have services on site for folks that really needed them made it abundantly clear to me, but it was obviously very clear to other people.
One of our permanent tenants is the United Way of Southeast Alaska. And, you know, they've got board minutes. They started talking about this back in 2002, almost 20 years ago. It's been bubbling in our community ever since. We commissioned demand studies from McDowell Group, which is now McKinley Research. We've worked with the Nonprofit Center Network, which is a national, international consulting group. There's actually hundreds of nonprofit centers around the country. So we did our best to learn from the model. And, you know, there's a bunch of research out there that says that it's a best practice to put strategic resources at the heart of high need population. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Well, it seems like a lot of times when services are scattered all over a community that people never make it to that next referral.
That's definitely true. And it's just also like, it's a lot to expect of somebody in crisis. When we were imagining the new Glory Hole coming together, one of the things we really wanted to do is we really wanted to minimize crisis and definitely, at the very least, have a facility and have a program that does not add to somebody's crisis, like an intensified, but does the opposite, diminish the crisis. And so President Peterson said this.
President Richard Peterson, right, with Tlingit Haida?
Yes, when we were talking about concepts and programs, you know, just it's really good to lift people up. And that just really stuck with me for a while. Like, we want this service that helps people to stabilize and lifts people up. And I think bringing services to people, as opposed to having people go chasing services spread out all over town in our weather, does exactly that. Like, it definitely gives people an opportunity to stabilize.
Well, with so many issues that people who struggle with homelessness have, there's no Band-Aid. There's no one thing that helps somebody. I imagine that all of your residents in those different facilities all have different issues, different needs, and it's probably impossible to consolidate everything that's needed in one specific facility.
I definitely agree, but I think it's just really cool, just kind of like what Joan was saying, you know, just having the space, like having a conference room and having a resource room. You know, for example, since we've been here, the Tlingit and Haida Regional Housing Authority has this really amazing program for veterans. They have vouchers for both Native and non-Native veterans. This really amazing person coordinates that program here in Juneau and in Southeast, and she's been coming here. And she has a space now to meet the veterans. And a lot of the veterans who did not used to stay with us because staying in our downtown shelter in the dorm rooms, it really intensifies somebody's PTSD, are now staying here because they can have their own little individual spaces. The Veterans Administration has been able to come here, has been able to work with people on their applications. People, you know, can keep track of their documents, so the application process goes faster. Since we've been here, she's housed 3 veterans already, just since the end of July, beginning of August. And she's working with 2 more right now, and they're imminently going to get housing. They're going to get their own apartments for the first time in a really long time. So can't fit all the services in these 2 buildings, but you can definitely have people come visit.
But definitely, instead of having people scattered and trying to put services in every building, this seems to make a lot more sense, Joan, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Both for folks needing services and to help strengthen the agencies that are providing the services. We'll be offering below market rents so that the tenants can spend more of their valuable resources on mission, on providing those services. We're trying to impact both sides of the coin.
So I have to ask this, Joan, are you needing funds to finish this new Teal Center, or is that money already out there and provided?
Great question. It's about a $6.5 million project. We are just shy of 70% of the way there now. We've broken the construction up into two phases, and we have the funds secured for phase two. So we're moving ahead. We've got quite a few grants and proposals out there, and we've got a very active capital campaign committee out there raising more funds. But yes, we are continuing to raise that last 30%.
What do you think, Maria? Is that a really good investment that will see bigger returns than that chunk of money?
We are going to see returns from a chunk of money for decades and decades and decades to come. And immediately, we're going to see an immediate return. So people should definitely donate to the Teal Street Center right now. It will make it a lot faster for the Teal Street Center to complete construction in time if they have the funding. And I have no doubt that it's going to be completed and successful. It's the greatest project. The 100 Women Who Care just chose the Teal Street Center as the object of their giving this quarter. And I've been so happy to write that check. It was just great.
Didn't they give money recently to the Glory Hall?
That's when I became 100 Women Who Care. I didn't really understand it that much. And then the Glory Hall. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. So I joined.
Yeah, it's 100 women who give a certain amount of money, but it's actually more than 100 women now who collectively give this little pot of money, and it's money that's targeted. It can make a big difference. So in wrapping things up, you will have your celebration and your groundbreaking for the new Teal Center. So what emotions are you going to be feeling next Tuesday?
Well, I'm going to be feeling really stressed out because we have a big pile of construction materials that we got to clean up before Tuesday, which we will.
Maria, I have seen you over the years at various times at the Glory Hall with piles of stuff around you and all kinds of people needing things all at once and not having even enough staff to sort things out. So what is it going to be like for you on Tuesday just to take pause and think about how far you've come?
Yeah, well, I hope not to cry. Since we opened, I'm just feeling this overwhelming sense of gratitude to the community. So I'm pretty sure that I will feel that. And also just quite honestly, a sense of relief. It is a great relief to be done with this project, a sense of anticipation, waiting for Jones Project to come online, and just excitement. I mean, this is a really exciting and hopeful time.
Joan, what are you going to be feeling?
Well, I'm going to be feeling gratitude. We've had so many donors and community members helping with our project. So I will be feeling gratitude as well as resolve until this project is over the finish line.
So Tuesday, November 2nd from 11 to noon. And you have to sign in for this, right?
If people want a tour of the Glory Hall, it is kind of important to RSVP because of COVID restrictions. So if folks could RSVP, that would be really helpful.
Yes, we are asking people to mask up and social distance and all that. We want to have a safe celebration, of course.
Long time in coming, huh, Joan? How long for you?
Gosh, I have been with this effort for, 15 years probably.
Well, I guess that gives us hope, right? That if you try long enough and hard enough, you can make something happen.
Don't give up.
Well, I just want to thank you very much, Maria Lovischuk and Joan O'Keefe. Thanks so much. And we're looking forward to your celebration on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Rhonda.